Lord, fill this place with soft hearts. Fill this place with obedient wills. Fill this place with the knowledge and hunger for your word and desire to please and glorify your name. Father, bless your word as it goes forth to make us better at prayer, more passionate at prayer, more enthused by prayer. Help us, Lord, teach us to pray. By your word, you taught your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a little diversion in the relevant and real series, just things we need to talk about, because we're going to be moving to having opposite of COGS prayer meetings in Swansea and in Lucker. And I think there's a great need for this church to pray more, and a great need for us to increase our prayer life and to get better at it in simplicity. There's so much that can change in your prayer life if you will take this and meditate on it and absorb it and go beyond what you're hearing today, because this was supposed to be one Sunday. Now it will be three that I know of so far. There's already three messages coming up on this. It's supposed to be one Sunday, last Sunday, and now it's two, and now it's going to be solid teach next week, and it'll be after that I'll do a third message on prayer, because there's just so much here. But there's more here than I'm saying. You need to meditate on this and absorb it into your DNA and your prayer life and apply it, because this is Jesus' words on what his disciples asked to teach us to pray. So let's not have some shallow prayer meetings where we pray about each other's corns and colds. But let's find out, what does God say? What does he pray that the disciples saw that his prayer life was different? And what did he reflect to them in this text right here that they should be praying about? The content of your prayer. If you will take this and apply it to your life, apply each segment to your life, your prayer life will increase. Your prayer life will change. And I am certain that we all can grow in prayer. And the title of this message is Necessity of Prayer. And last week we saw the priority of prayer. We saw the disciples seeing Jesus pray. They saw that Jesus was different. And they realized that it was linked to his prayer life. And so they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. They said, we have seen John the Baptist. He taught his disciples to pray. We sought the effectiveness of John the Baptist, and we see the effectiveness of you. Lord, teach us to pray. Do you want to be an effective Christian? Do you want to just muddle through the Christian life? Do you want to produce fruit that remains, or do you want to just sort of exist? Just sort of, you know, get by. Well, I think existing in the Christian life is a miserable existence. Just getting by, just going through the motions, as James prayed. We can come here and go through the motions. We can get into habits and routines that aren't fresh and new every morning. We can come to our stale prayer life doing, oh, Lord, bless me, give me, thank you, help me, and that other little prayer we pray regularly. And boom, we're done. And there's no life in it. There's no connection in it. There's no coming before the Almighty Father in heaven, who is powerful and able, but it produces that great expectancy. This, as I meditated on what does this do for us in prayer, the priority of prayer will get us to praying and become more powerful in our witness, our life, more effective, have greater discernment as we pray, as God can speak to us and say, hey, you know, this isn't right, or this is going on. God can do things to us and in us and through us in prayer that will not happen without prayer. I met some people recently in Swansea, and they're quite different Christians. And but one thing I know about them is that they're very prayerful, and they're producing much fruit. Practically, I've seen this in some people I've met recently. Remember David Guzik last week? I use his quote. It says, "Prayer is so simple that a child can pray, but it is so great that the mightiest man of God cannot be said to truly have mastered prayer." So if you think, no, my prayer life's all right, you know, maybe we got into a rut, or we're just happy with where we're at. You know, we always can go deeper. We always can learn more and grow more. Because that's what happens as we grow in the Christian life. We go deeper. J. Vernon McGee said the barren lives of Christians and the deadness of the church today are the result of prayerlessness. That is our problem. So there's a great call for this church to pray, a great call for us to rise to the occasion that we've been given to be all that we can be as a church, but we're going to need prayer to do it. And it's going to have to go beyond shallow existence of prayer. And it's going to have to, I think, absorb some of what Jesus is saying here into our prayer life. We also looked at last week the person and character of God in prayer. And for me, of all the ones I've looked at, I will say this is the one that maybe I wasn't doing the most. And hallowed be thy Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lifting up who he is in prayer. What does that do for you? Well, it brings expectancy. When you pray to God this big, it doesn't bring much expectancy. When you pray to an almighty, omnipotent power king who loves you and you're realizing and praying, hallowed be thy name. And what does that prayer mean? That means you're lifting up who he is in prayer. All that he is, holy and separate, different than all, lifting him up in that proper place when you pray. This is one thing I realized I wasn't doing, and there's probably a reason why. Because as a young Christian, I saw these people who would get up and stand in meetings and pray these eloquent prayers. Almighty and majestic King, we come before your mighty throne and la, la, la. And I don't know whether that now, and looking at this, maybe they were just applying this. This lifting up the majestic King before you pray. Realizing who you're praying to is what Jesus is teaching here. Our Father, intimacy, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You see, well, this right here brings expectancy, it brings hope, it brings a realization that you're, you know, God's hearing your prayers because he's big, he's intensely focused on you. He knows the number of hairs on your heads, his thought is many of you as the sands of the sea, and that is the God I come before today. Man, that brings an encouragement to pray instead of praying to God this big. Oh, God's probably not hearing me, he usually doesn't. This brings in an encouragement to pray. If not, if we don't pray this person of character of God in prayer, I've realized that we're going to have despair in prayer because we're praying to a small God. We don't realize who we're praying to. Therefore, our prayers are weak and not very effective because we're not expecting much. Because we're praying to the God of our concept of how we might feel that day or what's been the past experience that week. Instead of coming before the throne of the almighty, all-powerful, intensely in love with you, God, who wants to make a difference in your lives and others through you. You see the idea of hallowed be thy name? So many people repeat this prayer, and the Bible itself says, do not use vain repetition. And some of you may have been raised in a church that repeats this prayer. And you could maybe apply that as you repeated it, but I'm pretty sure most people aren't applying it as they repeat it. It'd be better to practically bring this into the reality of intimacy and relationship and the actual reality of what this should mean in hallowed be thy name. And for me, that's when I realized, because I used to hear these guys with these flowing, eloquent prayers, and I thought, oh, they're just, you know, putting it on. Now I don't know. Maybe they were praying this, hallowed be thy name, in their prayer. I don't know. You know, as you walk with God more, you find out that, you know, maybe some of what you thought was wrong in some points. I don't know now. But what I do know is that Jesus said to pray, hallowed be my name. Hallowed be your name. And so lifting him up, lifting up the character in God when you pray, realizing who you're praying to. And today we're going to see what else is included in our prayers to remove the shallow and self-centered approach to prayer and to God. And I've lost page 2. That's interesting. Well, that's never happened before. Okay, well, let's read the text 11. Let's go ahead and read all of what we're studying and what Jesus said we should pray. Luke 11:1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So that's what Jesus said your prayer should contain. Now, I wonder, and I won't ask for a show of hands, how many went and applied what we learned last week? How many went and said, I'm now realizing I need to speak to my Father. Maybe you already are doing that. And how many were saying, went in and started bringing up the praise of God and the realization of God in prayer? And if you didn't do that, if you didn't apply that, then you're not applying what you're hearing. Maybe you don't agree or something. You think, well, I like repeating, hallowed be thy name. I don't know. But if you didn't, what I'm more concerned about is that you would hear and not be moved unto challenge and change. I was. This is where I find my area of weakness was. Whereas the person and character of God and lifting him up and who he is in prayer. I was reminded when we came to worship today, that's sort of what we do in worship, isn't it? We come and we lift up his name before we hear the word of God. So we remember the greatness and the bigness of who our God is. And sometimes we can forget as we plod through life and go through the trials and maybe sometimes feel like God's not there. That we need to realize we need to lift him up in our hearts. In prayer and in worship. And this prepares us for the expectancy, the hope, the faith that we need to walk through this life. Well, that's what we're going to look at today. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Well, your kingdom come. Oh, wait. I better put this. I have this, don't I, today? All right. Your kingdom come. The purposes of God in prayer is what we're looking at now. And this is so important. And this may be where you lack. Maybe you don't pray about the purposes of God. You don't pray about the kingdom. It's more me and I and us and them and praying for everybody else's cold and different things. And those are fine. But if we don't go any deeper, we have a shallow existence of prayer. We're not applying what Jesus said. You want to pray like me? Pray your kingdom come. Your kingdom come is basically saying all that he wants us to do on earth. That, Lord, help me to fulfill your will on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We talked a little bit back a few weeks ago about the upward, the inward, and the outward. We talked about how as our means of practice that we need to have an upward existence. That means we need to have a relationship with God in prayer and the word, and we need to be growing in our faith, the upward, and we need to have that growth. That's where priority one comes in. If you're not doing that and you expect something different than lukewarm shallowness of your Christian existence, then you're completely deceived. If you think that you cannot pray, not read your Bible, not make time for God, and you think that you can have some kind of good outcome, you're completely deceived. We need to have the upward right before anything else works. And we need to focus on that. And this is what this is all about, really, in just the simplicity of prayer. Jesus said, pray this. Pray this. He said, pray your kingdom come. We've got to be kingdom-minded. We've got to be thinking outward. You see, we pray the upward to God, and we have that relationship, and we all need to be praying the kingdom come, the outward. Our representation of Christ and his values on earth. We need to represent Christ. We're called ambassadors. We're called a holy priesthood. We're called to represent Christ on earth. We need to be praying, Lord, your kingdom come. We need to be praying specifically about God's kingdom and what our part is in it and what we're doing as a church. How many of you are praying about the Swansea Center Church starting up? If you're not, you're not very kingdom-minded with where we're doing a lot of our effort and energy. Maybe you don't agree with it or you don't understand it. Sometimes, you know, soldiers don't have to understand. You're just like, wow, we're going there. Yes, sir. Let's pray. Let's pray for this. That's the excitement I see in some Christians. We say we're going here. They go, wow, let's pray for that instead of, I don't really agree. I don't understand. Can I understand first before I begin to jump in with my timely prayers? I see people who are on fire. They hear, wow, this is what you're leading, think God's doing. Let's do it. Let's pray. Wow. They get excited. Your kingdom come, God's agenda for us on earth. Some people think it's about praying the return of Jesus Christ. Well, you can pray that too, but I think it's more practically praying, making this kingdom come to this earth through us, our part in bringing the kingdom to others. God's called you to that. He called you by a holy priesthood and ambassadors. He's empowered you by the Holy Spirit. He's placed you as temporarily here as sojourners, pilgrims on a journey through this temporary land to become eternally minded, to be kingdom minded, to do things for His kingdom, because this kingdom will burn. It will not last. And we need to store up riches in heaven. That's what we need to do. In Matthew 6, it talks about to not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in. Putting your whole putting lots of emphasis on worldly things. Instead, we need to be kingdom-minded. We need to be praying, Lord, how do I become kingdom-minded? What do you want me to do? What do I need to pray for your kingdom this week? Maybe there's some soldiers down in the kingdom, in the fight. And you're praying for those soldiers that are down in the fight. That video for Remembrance Day motivated me for that. As this guy's walking along, wounded 6 different places, and walking alongside the helicopter, keeping fire. 6 places he was wounded at that time. You see, sometimes we need to pray for the soldiers who are doing the work. And we need to pray, your kingdom come. And we're supposed to bring it. We're called to be a light. We're called to be salt. You understand? But see, we can lose our saltiness. We can lose our flavor. We can lose our righteousness by the way we live, and therefore we don't reflect the character of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, we need to be praying that we have an influence on others. That's it. An influence. In your workplace, your college, your Facebook page, your children, your family, your grandchildren, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters. When you buy things in the market, kingdom-minded. Go and buy things at the market with the kingdom-minded. I think we all could be challenged to that, to find a kingdom-mindedness in buying our fruit for the week. You think, well, that's a little extreme, Clint. Well, that's what Paul the Apostle did. He went to the town center. And that's where he met people. Where people congregated. At the Jewish tabernacle, he went there. That's where he met. He'd go to the town center where the food and stuff sold. They'd walk through and they'd make analogies of the sacrificed meat being offered. They would walk through the town. They would go to where people were at, and they would make a difference within the fruit and vegetable aisle. And that's the power of God flowing through you. Torrents of living water that we can be challenged to today or not. We can go away and go, well, that's for somebody else. We can live a shallow, meager existence of Christianity and never experience the fullness, never experience the abundant life, never experience God using you in the way that He could, and never see people changed and transformed because we're not willing to be that light. Not willing to be that ambassador. Not willing to pray and start with prayer and thy kingdom come. Come to my heart first. We live in a nation 100 years away from a revival. We live in a nation that's left God. A nation that with most young people today don't know anything about God, even though they heard about Him in school, because it wasn't empowered by the Spirit what they taught Him in school. Because it was taught by teachers who weren't saved. And maybe it was taught without prayer. They should have heard because it's taught in schools, in assemblies. But they don't know. If you ask them, they don't know. There's so much we could do as a little church where we can be so effective, but we need to pray. We need to pray about the kingdom-mindedness of our own heart, the kingdom-minded gripping our wallets, gripping our time. And so putting the things of the world where we say, well, I'm just too busy to pray. I'm just too busy to read the Bible. Then you're too busy for God who saved you, who redeemed you, who shed His blood for you on a cross. You're too busy for Him. You see, we've got to get it right. We've got to pray ourselves. We've got to deny ourselves. You see, Jesus said, He said, if you want to follow me, you've got to lose your life to find it. You see, this world is not offering what Jesus is offering. It's temporary satisfaction that only leaves you wanting more. Jesus is offering life abundantly. He's offering, then you can give. You can get an extra measure shaken, pressed down, overflowing in your lap because you give. You see, This kingdom mindedness affects your wallet. It'll affect your time. It'll affect your prayer life. It'll affect your actions. It'll affect your thought. It affects everything. It'll affect the way you dress. Because kingdom mindedness should pervade every area of your life. He said, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, it's about influencing others. And I think so many people just don't get this. That we're missing the boat in so many areas and places that we could pray to be effective in the fruit aisle. Or wherever we realize we're not kingdom-minded at. In our school, in our work, or, well, you know, I don't want to be a religious zealot. You don't have to be a religious zealot. You just got to be who you are and let it flow from you. You see, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, the church is so worldly that it's worldly minded. And it's not praying the kingdom. It's not seeing the people that come through here at any given time and praying for them and praying for the soldiers that are down, kingdom minded. Jesus gives us a promise. He says, seek first the kingdom and all else will be added unto you. Rick Warren had a great quote about influence, because I think we don't think about influence. We think, well, I just want to be quiet and I want to, you know, not bother anybody, because I wouldn't want to bother anybody with my beliefs. You've been brainwashed to believing that. You've been brainwashed to believe that there's not life in His name. You've been brainwashed to believe that, well, I need to remain quiet because my views are not popular. And that's just what Satan's done. He's muzzled the church and got us all afraid to say anything. We need to be challenged by that. We need to be found wanting. And we need to look for the power of God and start praying kingdom-mindedness. Lord, help us to be more kingdom-minded. Rick Warren said this about influence. What you do with the influence you currently have will determine whether or not your influence grows more. What are you doing with what you have? I can't look at Facebook before I go to bed because I can't sleep when I look at it, at what Christians are writing on Facebook. Arguing amongst each other, using F words, cursing words, putting up cursing things. And these are people that go to this church and used to go to this church. And it upsets me too much. Where are they at? Now, again, I have to then balance myself back out. Okay, all right, I have my own sin and, you know, maybe I'm not putting it on. Okay, so I balance it all back out. But the fact of the lack of the knowledge that on Facebook you can either be a witness and an influence, or you can just look like everybody else. You can put rubbish up, or you can try and glorify God, your purpose for existence. You can be kingdom-minded with Facebook. How am I going to reach my friends? Hey, wow, we're having a family fun day. We're having some food. Hey, I'm going to send it to all my friends. I'm going to forward that stupid stuff Clint sends me all the time and irritates the hell out of me because he sends me so many emails once a week. Once a week he sends me an email. What we're doing again? Well, you can use it to pray. Or maybe you might can use it to remember all the people that tell me, hey, when is the COGS again? Gosh, dude, yeah, we told you in church. We told you on an email. But you still don't know. Okay, I'll tell you again. We need to be kingdom-minded. It'll start with prayer. Start with the realization of who you are and what you're supposed to do. What you're here for. You're a sojourner and a pilgrim temporarily in this land for a purpose. To make His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To be an ambassador, to be a holy priesthood, to bring God to the people. But Satan's muzzled us. He's got us to think, well, nobody wants to hear that. Man, they need to know. I think I saw a survey, 73% of young people don't have any belief system at all. 73%. They don't, what do you believe? Nothing. And don't care. Because they're not thinking. Why am I here? How did I get here? Where do I go after I die? We're just not thinking because we're so media and so busy. Well, I don't got time to think. I just got time to have fun and be entertained and play my video games and go with my mates and I don't have time to think. But see, you can stop them in the street or see them in however, whatever capacity you see, and you get them to think. So what if you're wrong about when you die? There's no, you think you just go cease to exist when you die? That's what I believed. Before I became a Christian. Well, what about if you're wrong? What if there is a God? And what if he's wanting to reach you right now and through what Jesus Christ did and demonstrate His love for you and bring you into life abundantly? Because, you know, people aren't experiencing life abundantly. They're experiencing drunkenness and bad relationships, all kind of things. And we didn't realize that what Christ offers is awesome. But we may not be living it because we're not living it. We're not praying it. We're not living in obedience. We're not praying with a heart of obedience that says, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your kingdom come. And use my feet, my hands, my pocketbook, my time, my prayers, my phone calls to make a difference. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. People are worried about, oh, well, I got to get this and that. And Jesus said, look, just seek first my kingdom. You'll have everything you need. That's a promise from God. And we get so busy with life that we're no time for God. And that little promise there, it's just promise of provision, promise of satisfaction, promise of abundant life. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and all these things you're worried about, is the previous text. These worldly things, what you wear, what you dress, these things, all these will be added unto you. You'll have everything you need. You'll be satisfied in it too. Instead of worldly attitude, I just got to get more. I got to work longer, get more hours, get a second job so I can have more so I can try and find satisfaction in the world instead of in His kingdom. When He said, if you seek first my kingdom, all else will be added unto you. Well, you see, the problem is for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And then He said, your kingdom come, your will be done. The purpose of God in prayer would be His will be done. Desiring to do God's will, seeking to do God's will in order to do it, not to consider it. Well, as long as it's not hard, as long as, you know, I check it out and then if I'm okay with it. You see, God's looking for an obedient heart. God's looking for a heart that says, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to be willing to do it even if it's hard. But people don't want that kind of Christianity. They want the easy Christianity. Laid back Christianity. J. A. Packard wrote a book called The Laid Back Christianity. Is that right? I like laid back. That's great. But laid back with a focus. Laid back with a kingdom minded. Laid back doing His will. Fine if you're a laid back person. But there needs to be a diligence about His will and about His kingdom, or you're out of His will and you're not going to be seeing the fruitful effectiveness that Jesus Christ found, that John the Baptist found, that the missionaries found, Hudson Taylor, that John the Baptist found. You'll find an ineffective, shallow existence that will not exude the life in His name that you could have when you live according to His will. You see, when we pray, His will be done, that's not to consider it, that's to do it. Not praying to get your will done. That's another thing. We're like, oh Lord, give me this and help me to have that girlfriend or that boyfriend. And oh Lord, give me that job. And instead, oh Lord, just heal me. What about if God wants you to have an illness that He's going to use in your life? Oh, that's not biblical. The faith movement has got this so screwed up because that's the majority of people on TV. It'd be better if you didn't watch television, by the way, and Christian television, because most of them are off in their doctrine. You need to realize the fullness of what the Word of God says. We need to pray to get God's will done, not ours. Why? Because He's, let's start out with, hallowed be thy name. Because He's an almighty, majestic God, all-knowing. He knows the beginning from the end. He's all-powerful. He loves us. He has the best interest in heart. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. And that's hallowed be thy name preached and spoke in your prayer, right? And then you come to Him. And then you say, Lord, what's your will? Because He's all-knowing. He knows best. Not you. You don't see into the future. Asking, Lord, heal me. But if not, help me to use this in my life. That's what God can do. Oh, you're in a tough circumstance. Oh, just Lord, get me out of it. You know, we need to quit praying to get out of trials. And we need to start praying, Lord, teach me in trials to reflect your glory, to reflect your goodness, and to walk with you. To walk in joy of trials, knowing that you're perfecting my faith. Because you began a good work in me. And see, the purpose of trials is God wants to work in you to will and do His good pleasure. Oh, your kingdom come and your will be done, you see. Your will be done, not my will be done. Whenever I pray for somebody to be healed, I also pray, but if not, Lord, give them the strength to go through it. Because God has promised all will be healed, but that's at the resurrection. That's at the new body that's taken out of context by the faith movement that says, see right there? He says all will be healed. So we need to claim that. We need to name that. And then we'll all be healed. And which is our lack of faith why we're not healed. That's not true. Paul said, Lord, prayed three times to have his misery taken away. And he didn't get it taken away, so he quit asking. That's good enough for me, Lord. We have trials in life. They are to refine us, and God can glorify Himself through them. God is not a genie which you're rubbing to praying to get your will done. You don't even want your will done. You want to find His will in prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what you should be seeking, and then being quiet. What is your will, God? Where, like you prayed, where am I off? Where were we off, Lord? See, a little prayer in the service goes well already, right? That's what you were, something you were praying or saying now. Lord, what is your will? Where am I off, Lord? And be quiet. Not, there's my four, I'm out the door. Lord, and you've got to have some time to be quiet before the Lord. Be still and know that He's God, and listen to meditate on what's going on in your life. You see, the faith movement says, they claim that scripture, ask anything in His name and it's done. Yeah, the Bible does say that. But there's a balance of scripture that you must know. 1 John, I think it's 5:14. It says this, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, it is done. You want God's will, even if it's painful. You want God's will, even if it's hard. Because God's will is His perfect will. We need to seek His will because He's going to work in and through it in your life to sanctify you, to prepare you for what's next, to prepare you for new heights, new challenges that are coming ahead so that you can produce fruit. You can live a life of effectiveness. But see, we don't pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We like, oh Lord, get rid of my miserable cold and help me and give me and bless me. I got to go now. We need to go into intimacy and prayer. Our Father is who we're coming to, His Almighty, who's big, He's huge, as the rap song says. Bigger than anything is who you're coming before. It should encourage us in prayer. It should give us expectancy in prayer. It should give us hope in prayer. It should give us faith in prayer, because we're remembering who we're praying to. And then we need to pray what we're to do. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, not my will. Help me to find Your will, to work in us to will and do His pleasure. Praying to find His will, not praying to get your will done. Believing that, why do we not want our will? Because He's all-knowing. Why do we not want our will? Well, because God has our best interest at heart. We might have a temporal idea of what we want. And God's working in you to will and do His good pleasure. And He works through trial, unfortunately or fortunately. That's the way He works. He works through tough times that refine us and help us to go deeper. Help us to have compassion for others. Sometimes what you're learning through your trial is that you'd have compassion for someone else down your line. God's will is not always easy. Even desired in your life. You realize? We may not want God's will if it's going to be hard. We may not want God's will if it means I don't get the job that pays more. I want the job that pays more with less hours. Or I want the easy path, God. That's what we would pray. That would be our will for our life. Well, tell Joseph that. Joseph was abused by his brothers, sold into slavery, put into jail. At that any point, he could have said, you know, where's God at? But what did God do? What did God do? He rose him up to second in the kingdom. He kept his nation alive. All when his nation came to get food, his brothers, and because he was second in command, because God worked in and through him through the prophecies of the famines, stored away grain, and he kept his nation alive. But I'm sure it wasn't nice being in the bottom of the pit. I'm sure it wasn't nice being sold into slavery by your loved ones. I'm sure it wasn't nice being put into jail for years. But the Bible says what they meant for evil, God meant for good. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. To say that there's not trials that have a purpose is ridiculous. It's not to apply the Bible in your life. It's to overlook the way God works in us and through us, to refine us. The times in which I grew most in my life were the hardest times in my life. I look back now and that's where I quote, where I learned what I learned. Through the trials of life, through the dark times of life, through the hard times of life. It's not the easy road where you find the depth of character that you need to enter into the future with confidence and strength. Joseph could at any time during that time wondered, and it doesn't record that in the Bible because he was a type of Christ. But he could have wondered, where was God at in his trial? But what they meant for evil, God meant for good. God was doing something he couldn't see. And that's why we need to pray, because we need to be encouraged in an almighty God that we're praying to, that he has a plan, that his will needs to be done, not my will. I'm sure he'd like to stay back there as his father's favorite in his pretty multicolored robe and been the favorite and la-di-da'd around the village and whatever. But God had a plan bigger than any of them had. And that's what God has for Pillar Church, and that's what God has for you. He has a plan bigger than any of us have. But we got to pray. We've got to find some passion in prayer, some depth in prayer, rather than a shallow existence of prayer. We've got to start praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and use me to fulfill it. Use my feet, my pocketbook, my time, my prayers, my commitment. When we, you know, we don't need, don't pray for your trials to end. Pray your for victory in your trials. Joy in the midst of suffering. Joy in the midst of persecution, that you were persecuted for his name's sake. Seeking God's will. In the Bible, there's a revealed will of God, and then there's a specific will of God you've got to find with the balance of Scripture. Revealed will of God. So many people aren't even willing to obey the revealed will of God. I'm willing to marry an unbeliever because I'm lonely. There's one. I don't want to do God's will because it's going to be hard. I want to take the easy path. I want to stay comfortable. I don't want to have to go out and do anything. I like my nights free. Whatever the case may be, but see, we need to find the will of God. And how do we do that? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you do that? Through prayer and the Word. Looking into the Word, looking into prayer, learning the heart of God, praying the heart of God as you realize who He is in prayer. Hallowed be your name. Not living for the world's pleasures. But see, we've got to start renewing our mind. The world's inundating us, deceiving us. The lies are infiltrated everywhere. And the church is accepting them because it's not into the Word. It's not being transformed by the renewing of its mind. It doesn't believe that there are trials in life ordained by God to bring you depth of character, to be challenge you so the muscles of your spirit will be strengthened for what God wants to do in the future, because He wants to use you. He wants His kingdom to come through you. But it takes to do that, to even pray that, to pray it for real, you've got to have a surrender. You've got to have a desire to do God's will above your own. You see, and that's a constant battle of the flesh. The flesh wants to remain comfortable and entertained, safe and secure. And God wants you to step out by faith. What's that song we sing, Oceans? I love that song. It really tells what God wants to do. He wants you to walk upon the waters, but you got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the comfort of the boat. And that's thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Removing the comfort from our life in order to make His kingdom come. It's not always a comfortable place where you're heading. See, Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, you got to lose your life to find it. And so many people are trying to find it in the world and its pleasures and in this life. But see, it's a surrender to what His will is. Your will be done. We think if we get what we want, we got the best. No, we got second best at best when we don't get God's will. You see, we should seek His will be done. Remember Jesus when they was witnessing to the Samaritan woman, and the disciples went to town and came back and brought some food, and they said, hey, Jesus, you hungry? You know, He says, no, I'm not hungry. I've got food you don't know about. I love that. I got food you know don't know about. He says, my food in John 4:34 is to do the will of Him who sent me to finish His work. Is that your will? Do you have food that people don't know about? Can you run on just a desire to fulfill His kingdom and will? It's very energizing. It fills your soul to accomplish what you came for, what you're here for. And it's not satisfying not to do it. And so we try and find satisfaction in other things. You see, all of our prayers should gladly relinquish our own will for His. Whether it be sickness, whether it be trial, whether it be money or fame or friends or whatever, we need to relinquish our will for His name, for His kingdom, for His will. It takes a denying of self, a dying to self. Are you willing to do that? If not, you won't find that abundant life. You won't find that torrent of living water flowing from you, and you won't see the effectiveness of your life. You won't see the fruit in your life, and which will encourage you. We need that encouragement, especially in Britain where there's a lacking of fruit compared to the other parts of the world. We need to be encouraged in prayer, and hallowed be thy name, and who we're praying to. When we're praying, God move. God do something. God save souls. You know, David was called a man after God's own heart. Why? Oddly enough, the New Testament tells us why. I was at a Bible study one time, and they started out with that question, and I knew the answer because I just read it in Acts 13:22, I think it is. And they're going to go on for like 45 minutes discussing why was David a man after God's own heart. I said, what it says in Acts 13:22? Because he was willing to do all of God's will. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Because he was willing to do the heart of the Father. He was kingdom-minded. He was praying, "Thy will be done." Oh, sure, he got some prayers wrong or interesting, I'll say. Maybe whether they're wrong or not, because they were his prayers. "Lord, kill them all. Knock their teeth out," he would say in the Psalms, right? "Kill my enemies." Hey, it's just him expressing himself to God. God gets that. But he was willing to do God's will. Oh, did he fall? Yes. Was he a human? Yes. We all, "Well, but what about Bathsheba? How does that work?" Hey, you know, we all stumble and fall. But he was, overall, his life was willing to do whatever the heart of the Father wanted him to. And that's "thy will be done." That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Are you a man or woman after God's own heart? So the purposes of God in prayer, we looked at. Our prayers need to be not shallow and self-centered. They need a focus on God's kingdom. We need a focus on His will. Seeking God. That means we need to listen. That means we need to be still. Not just flapping our mouth, "Heal me, give me, help my pitiful cold, and get me a new car." And we need to go into God's kingdom. We need to go into His will. And that takes time. It takes sitting before Him and making sure we're not off course. And if you do this, it'll create desire, produce faith, action, and a greater need for dependency on God. Because you realize to step out in faith, to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of the entertainment zone, to step out of the world and into His marvelous light, that things are going to be revealed about you. You're going to stand and you're going to see the reflection of the Word and realize you fall short. And you're going to say, "Oh Lord, help me." But then you know the grace of God in a deeper way. Because He meets us where we're at. And His mercies are new every morning. And that's good news for all of us. So in this praying, we've seen the priority of prayer that Jesus had on His life. His disciples noticed it, where His effectiveness came from. We saw the person and character of God in prayer, that He's our Father, and that we need to lift up all of who He is when we pray, which brings expectancy and hope. That's what I realized this does in prayer for me personally, as I started meditating on this. I go, "Wow, I don't do that much in prayer." And so it's changed my prayer life. And I realized when I started doing it, and I don't know if you're applying this to your life or this is just more spit from my lips, but this is the Word of God. This is Jesus teaching you how to pray, how to be more effective. This is what He told His disciples. Are we going to apply our Father in heaven? "Hallowed be your name. Oh Lord, hallow who you are." Who do I need to realize you are today? Who are you today that I'm praying to that makes a difference in my prayers today? All-knowing, powerful, loves me, has my best interest at heart. Your kingdom come. Lord, we pray for the people that we've touched the lives in that are in and out of here, and those that have walked away, and pray for those in our influence, Lord. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. I love the song today we sang, "Remind Me Jesus Saves," you know. Because I'm praying, God, save some more, save some more. People say, "What do we pray for Britain?" I say, save some more. That's kingdom come. Your will be done. The purposes of God in prayer. The person of God in prayer and the priority of prayer. Well, we won't get to the other bit. trying to do shorter sermons. Some people have said we'd like a little bit shorter sermons, so I'm going to give that a go. But we need to realize that there needs to be a priority of prayer in our lives if we want to see the effective outworking of God in our lives. We need to realize that we need to realize who we're praying to, our Father, and the person and character of who we're praying to bring us expectancy and hope and faith and courage and encouragement and courage to step out. And the purposes of God in prayer, maybe that's where you're lacking, praying for God's kingdom. But you can't pray that prayer without denying yourself, or it's just empty words you're mouthing because it's head knowledge you know. Oh Lord, yes, save them, do this, that. But you're not willing to step out yourself, then it's not a prayer of faith. You need to pray, your kingdom come to my heart. Your kingdom come to my heart first before I can go bring the kingdom to others. And praying that His will would be done is what we've looked at today. Father, I just pray now that, Lord, your word would fall upon our hearts and we'd apply it. We pray your word would make our prayer lives increase. We pray for passionate prayers that are focused. We pray for, Lord, more time with you, more expectancy from you, a greater challenge in what you've called us to, and a greater faith to fulfill it. This is what we pray when we pray the prayer you're teaching us here. Help us, Lord, to apply it in Jesus' name. Amen.